Man, you know, as Christina was finishing up I call her doctor whenever I see her, doctor. And she says, pastor. Even when we text each other, I text her, I say, doctor. And it's kind of our little joke, but she was finishing up her testimony about, like, kind of, she's basically saying, like, we gave more than we thought we did. Amen? And the scripture came to my mind immediately where Jesus says, you know, that when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Amen? And because it's just so many promises about giving, but it's just with the same measure with which we give, it shall be given back to us, right? So really, and sometimes, you know, I think we get so hung up because we're Americans, Western culture, we think it's like bigger paychecks and all this stuff, but many times I've seen that God plugs some holes in the bottom of my bucket, and not necessarily there's more coming in the top, but there's less going out the bottom. Can I get amen? You know, the cars don't break down, you don't go to the doctor, you don't, you know, so maybe there's not more coming in, but there's less going out. Amen. So we always just got to keep our eyes open for how the Lord can bless us so many ways, so many more ways than just getting a raise at work. Amen. So this morning, we're going to continue in our series about building the temple, really continuing about this inner man concept. But we're going to be in the Old Testament this morning. And the sermon title is called, Then They. Everybody say that with me, Then They. Father God, we thank you for our hearts continuing to be soft and moldable and pliable for your word right now. I thank you for anointing my mind and heart that what I speak is what you want to have spoken. And that God will receive it in good soil, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, church, to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And we're going to, getting over a little chest thing going on here. But we're going to be starting with a very, very familiar couple of verses here. We all recognize it, but then we're gonna look at some more stuff that maybe you've never really thought about, or maybe you have, but it's going to be good either way. In Jesus' name. Y'all there? Isaiah 61, verse 1. You guys are there? Say amen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And it's that one, when I was younger in the Lord, that one always kind of messed me up. Like, the favor of the Lord and the day of vengeance, like he's proclaiming those two things together, right? But really what it means is, when you see stuff about God says, I'm going to bring justice, I'm going to judge, he's talking about repaying his children for things they suffered, right? What does he say? Don't take vengeance as mine, says the Lord. I'll repay. Right? It's what it says. The day of vengeance of our God. So every time we've been wronged, every time somebody's turned their back on us, they've betrayed us, they've hurt us, every time we've sacrificed something for the Lord and we just give it to God, he says, I'm keeping track of all that stuff. And there's a day when my vengeance is going to pour out and I'm going to make it right. How many people know there's some things need to be made right? Yeah? This is a promise of God. He says, I'm going to make it right. You got to hang on. Amen? Our job is to let go of that stuff. His job is to make it right. Amen? Verse 2, he continues to say, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion. I got to stop right here for just a moment. In the translation that I preach from, New American Standard Bible, NASB, the word in right here is italicized in that translation, which means that it's not actually in the original text. Why that's important is because if you take that word in out, it really changes what he says, right? Not to grant those who mourn in Zion, right? Zion is us. Can I get amen, right? Zion is the new covenant church, right? So he's not saying to grant those who mourn in Zion, because quite frankly, church, there should not be folks mourning in Zion. Come on, right? When we come to Zion, Zion is supposed to heal our mourning. It's supposed to get us out of a place of mourning, right? He says to grant those who mourn Zion. Do you see the difference? It's a powerful difference if you see it, man. The solution for my mourning is Zion. In the book of Hebrews, he says, you're not coming to a mountain that's being consumed with clouds and fire and smoke, Mount Sinai, where it shook so bad that the people were afraid and even Moses trembled with fear. He says, but you are coming to Mount Zion, to the mountain of the Lord, right? And it's all these promises that are attached to it. It's not this thing of fear and trembling. It's a mountain of hope and restoration and redemption and joy. Can I get an amen? He says, look, the solution to mourning is Zion. It's the mountain of God, right? Zion is the church. Can I get an amen? To grant those who mourn Zion, giving them, who's them? Those who mourn, right? A garland instead of ashes. Or we most of us that have been around would say what? Beauty instead of ashes, right? This is that verse, right? Beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy or gladness instead of mourning, right? The mantle of praise or a garment of praise instead of a spirit of fainting or heaviness, if you're a little old school King James version. Can I get amen? Right? Again, most of us who've been in church, we recognize this passage. We can quote it, probably some of us, as what Jesus said in the temple about himself, right? If you go read Luke's gospel, Jesus, he changes the words a little bit, but this is the reference, right? He's referencing this. So Isaiah is obviously prophesying about Jesus. Isaiah's not saying the Spirit of the Lord's on me. He's prophesying about one that's coming, right? So if we understand that, it's a New Testament prophecy. It's a new covenant promise that there's a spirit. It's not. See, this prophecy is not just about Jesus. It's about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Do you see it, church? He's prophesying about Jesus, but he's also prophesying about the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to do a little bit of teaching here, and then we're going to let it rip. There are five different states of life that are listed here by the prophet. Number one, the afflicted. Number two, the brokenhearted. Number three, captives. Number four, prisoners. And number five, as we just touched on briefly, those who are mourning, right? Those who mourn, right? We need to understand, church, that no matter where you are, no matter where you were, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're doing right now, no matter what you might do, every single human being on the planet falls into one of these five categories. Can I get an amen? Because he says the solution to all five of these is the Spirit of God, which means that every single human being has to fall under one of these five categories or more than one. Amen. Number one, the afflicted, the solution to being afflicted. He says, I'm going to bring good news to the afflicted, right? The Hebrew for afflicted means to be bowed down. And it's talking about people, not of people who've humbled themselves, right? It's not to bow down. It's to be bowed down. It's a different word. Do you understand? See, if I humble myself, it's a good thing. If I've been humbled, anybody ever been humbled? I'm not saying because you did something stupid. That you deserve that, right? I'm talking about life comes at you and just keeps knocking you down. No matter how hard you try, you just keep, no matter what you do, something just keeps nailing you, man. Right when you ever, it's like going to the ocean. You know, you ever seen those crazy surfer guys and they go over the big wave and they, right as soon as they get up, they just take a breath and bam! You know, they get hit again, and then they try to, you know what I'm saying, right? Anybody ever been through a season of life like that where it's like every time you're just getting your feet under you, boom, something else hits you. This is the Hebrew word for being afflicted, right? It's like, man, no matter what I do, nothing seems to work out. I can't get my feet under me. I can't get some stability in my life. The prophet says there's good news coming. Two is brokenhearted. And you know, church, this is, I'll be honest with you, this was me right here, right? I think I've shared this before, but the first time that I knew the Lord spoke to me, looking back, I realized he had been talking to me for a long time, like we could all recognize if we pay attention. But the first time I knew the Lord was talking to me, I was a brand new Christian, and I was sitting at my table at my mom's house. I still live with my mom. And it was a Sunday morning. I was eating a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios. I remember clearly yesterday, right? And it was I'm getting ready for church, and I'm sitting there, got my Bible open. Psalm 34, man. I was reading through it, and I get to verse 18, and it says, "The Lord is nigh unto the brokenhearted." And I was like, whoa. I just started instantly sobbing. And I remember I was like mid-spoonful, man. It like paused, whoa. And I said in my heart, "Lord, that's me. I'm brokenhearted. But this says that you're close." Amen. This was me. I fit into this one. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. Right? This is, the Hebrew word means a broken or shattered. Listen to this. A broken or shattered inner man, mind, will, or heart. Isn't that interesting? The Hebrew word for heart is inner man, mind, will, or heart. Right? This is speaking specifically to someone who's just lost all strength on the inside. Think of some of the fruit of the Spirit or the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Some of those fruit are what? Self-control. The Holy Spirit will give us hope that overflows, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit will give us joy that abounds. He will give us peace that passes understanding, right? We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Do you see it, church? So when it's brokenhearted, is not necessarily an emotional state. It can be an emotional state, but it's talking more of someone who just says, man, I just can't do it. Right? It would manifest in things like depression, right? Despair. This is someone who's brokenhearted. This is what this biblical word is talking about. Do you understand? Right? Anybody ever been there? You're just like, I'm done. I'm done. Anybody ever been done? What's he say is going to happen for these people? The Lord is going to what? Bind them up. You got to see this picture here. It's just there's such a tenderness about it, right? It's really, to look at a New Testament story would be like the story of the Good Samaritan, right? This man that's just broken on the side of the road, and all the religious people pass by, but the Good Samaritan picks him up and takes him to the inn and gives the innkeeper money, says, "You take care of this man. And anything that you spend more, I'll pay for it when I come back." He says, you see a church. There's a tenderness about this, right? I was talking to a friend the other day, and I said, man, I said, Holy Spirit, help me remember this because it's so good. I said, you know, bro, if you got a demon on you, I can lay hands on you and cast the demon out. Right? I cannot cast out a broken heart out of you. Can't do it. I've got to love a broken heart out of you. Can I get amen? Right? If there's a demon, man, you kick him in the teeth, he's got to go. But if someone's just broken, that takes time. You got to... Right? Now, maybe there's both. Maybe you got to kick a demon out, but can I get amen? Right? Taking care of somebody's brokenhearted takes some time. It's tender. It's messy. It's frustrating, you know, because there's even a broken bone. We heard our sister a few moments ago, right? I mean, I've broken lots of stuff in my life, blew my Achilles out. I've broken all kinds of stuff. That stuff heals, man. You get better. It's fine. But a broken heart, it's like, man. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about, you know, that a man's spirit can sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Right? Boy, if your spirit gets broken, it's like you're in for a ride. Can I get amen? Number three is captives. I'm moving here quick. Here we go. So the next two, there's a little difference. Hope you guys will catch it. Someone who's a captive is, in the Hebrew word, it's a little bit of a, you got to kind of dig it a little bit, but it means, someone who's captive means it's more of a self-made limitation, right? The Hebrew word here doesn't give a lot of insight, but if you look at what's going to happen for captives, God says that I'm going to bring liberty to captives. Can I get amen? Not freedom. There's a difference between freedom and liberty. Can I get amen? See, church, freedom means I can do whatever I want. If I get in a car, I can go 150 miles an hour on the highway if I'm free. I'd really enjoy that. Jesus, man. Lord, how I want to go to the Autobahn someday or over there, man. Just, you know. But you see what I'm saying? Freedom means I can do whatever I want, right? If you somebody gives you something that's free, it's there's no cost to it, right? Liberty is different. See, liberty is what we get from Christ. Liberty is freedom to operate within a set of guidelines. Right? In the Pledge of Allegiance of our country, it doesn't say with freedom and justice for all. It's liberty and justice for all. You're free to do pretty much whatever you want as long as you don't violate what's going on, what's established by the government. They're going off the rails pretty quick, but can I get amen? Right? But you see what I'm saying? Church, it's the same thing in the spirit, man. The Bible says that there's a law of the spirit, right? God says there are certain things you can do and certain things you can't, right? As long as you operate inside of what God says is allowable, you're free. If I violate that, I'm abusing the liberty that I've been given. Can I get amen? So a captive, what I see here in the Hebrew word, is a captive is more of somebody who's built their own prison. Anybody ever build your own prison? Right? Amen. We've all been there, ain't we? Number four, prisoners. So captives are going to get liberty. Prisoners, this is someone who is made a prisoner really against their will. I said last Sunday, and this isn't like, you can't set this one in stone, so please don't get offended. But in a general sense, most folks are physically sick against their will, right? If anybody ever been sick and you're like, yes, I love being sick, praise God. No, we're like, man, I can't wait to feel better, right? I get the man flu when I get sick. Anybody ever seen man flu? Look that up on YouTube. That's me, bro. Okay, I'm so sick. My wife's like, suck it up, buttercup. You're such a wimp. You know, she's like, who takes care of me? I said, you're the mom. You're supposed to take care of yourself. That's what moms do, right? Come on, man. Ladies, that's a compliment for you. I'm telling you, it's good. You see, there's a guy. I'm trying to give you a compliment. It backfires. That's what happens. We don't even know how to do it, man. Can I get amen? Jeez, I don't know. I need help, man. Guys, help me out here, right? But a prisoner, church, is someone who's in prison against their will, right? So think about it, if somebody gets kidnapped, right? They've done nothing wrong, right? They are kidnapped and they're held against their will. So it'd be like a physical sickness. Sometimes people can be born into poverty. They can be born into all kinds of situations, right? It could be some kind of mental health issue. Can I get amen, right? Someone assaults you. Someone violates you. So right, you've done nothing wrong, but something bad comes at you and it produces a prison. Either a physical prison with a sickness, a mental prison, an emotional prison. Can I get amen? And Jesus says what? The prophet says that Jesus is going to come to bring freedom. The Hebrew word means an opening of the bars. Amen? Number five, those that mourn. This is pretty straightforward concept here, but it speaks to grief, lamenting, or sadness. Everybody good? Let's raise our hands. Anybody? We all fall into one of those, right? Yeah, maybe right now. All right, but so we're gonna keep reading here in just a moment. But this is what the Lord said to me a couple of weeks ago. I was reading through this, and He said, "Son, one of the reasons there's so many reasons, but one of the reasons that the church in America has gotten such little power is because we've got people that are saved, but they're not walking in the power of God." Right, they get hit by a bus, they go up. Can I get amen, right? If today's their last day on earth, they're going to heaven. But that's not why Jesus came. That's just a piece of why Jesus came, right? It's not a new song, but it's a great song. We'll sing it probably in a couple of Sundays here around Resurrection Sunday from Elevation Worship. But the guy that says it like this, I love how he says it. He says, you know what? Jesus Christ shows us His love on the cross, but He shows us His power in the resurrection. right? In church, we've got too many Christians, too many churches full of folks that we're just living at the cross, man. Great, we need to take up our cross daily. We need to die to ourselves, but we need to also live on the other side of that thing, man. Live in the power of the resurrection. The Holy Spirit doesn't forgive you of sin. The blood of Jesus is what forgives me. The Holy Spirit is who empowers me to be who I'm supposed to be. Can I get amen? See, I can be forgiven and still be afflicted. I can still be brokenhearted. I can still be a captive. I can still be a prisoner. And I can still mourn. I can be forgiven and still live in all those things. Because it doesn't say that the blood of the Lamb is upon me. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is. Do you see it? Let's go down to the second half of verse 3, and we're gonna let this thing rip, man. Y'all ready? Buckle your seatbelt. The sermon, again, is called Then They. Ready, guys? So Isaiah 61, verse 3, at the end, it says, so, everybody say so. So they, who's they? All five of those folks, right? That's us, right? They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, let me just, church, I've been here, okay, so I'm not coming down on anybody. Just hear my heart, man, all right? I was saved for a long time and still a train wreck. Anybody get a, can I get an amen? Man, I was a train wreck for a long time, okay? I knew I was going to heaven, but I couldn't get out of my own way, man, right? I was a mess. I couldn't think straight. I was depressed. I was discouraged. I was just, oh, this doesn't work. You know, all this stuff, man. I knew I was saved, but I was trying to get all the other stuff that the Bible says we can get, right? And I'm like, man, none of this stuff is working. What I finally figured out is that I was sabotaging it on my own. I was sabotaging it with the way I was thinking. I was sabotaging it by what I was saying. I was sabotaging it by the way I treated other folks, by the way I reacted to things that went on. I was sabotaging the things that God had for me because I didn't let the Holy Spirit fix what was broken. I can be saved and still think real crazy. Right? But see, God's saying, you got to get saved first, man, but now we got to figure out what's wrong with you, man. We cleaned you up, but we got to get the thing running right. Amen. Can I? Right? It's like, you know, if you go to buy a car, man, just because the paint looks good, you got to pop the hood and see if the thing runs all right. We're so hung up in church about getting the paint job good, we're not sure if we're running okay. We're burning oil. We got antifreeze coming in the block. We're blowing head gasket. We can't figure it out. I'm sorry, ladies, for the car analogies. I'm just there, right? Come on. Can I get amen? God's saying, let's get this thing running right, not just looking good. Right? Is that good? So that they, look, how many, if I'm going to go, just, I'm not going to look at nobody, right? If I'm going to go testify to somebody about how powerful Jesus Christ is, how powerful the blood is, how powerful what he did for me is, and my life is a disaster, what kind of witness is that? Come on, man. If my marriage is a mess, people are like, man, my marriage is already messed up. You're not offering me anything different than what I got. If my kids are off the rails, if my finances are a mess, if I'm emotionally a basket case, I'm not offering anybody out there something that they don't already got. I've got to be different than they are. An oak of righteousness. Look at oak trees, man. We got lots of them around here, man. They are strong, man. They're hard. Man, some trees, it gets windy out, they'll blow around. Look at an oak tree. Oak tree don't go nowhere, man. It just stands up. It's like, well, that's all you got? I'm not moving, right? An oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Can I get amen, church? Let's keep reading down into verse 4. Look what it says. Then they, who's they? all five of these folks, right? Afflicted, brokenhearted, captives, prisoners, and those that were mourning, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. Then they will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers, but you, or they, will be called the priests of the Lord. They will be spoken of as ministers of our God. They will eat the wealth of... I thought we heard a testimony about getting money from the heathen, man. Right? Look what he says. As we allow the Spirit of God to fix what's going on in here, so I'm not afflicted anymore. I'm not brokenhearted anymore. I was, but I'm not. Can I get amen? I'm stopped making prisons of my own design. I've been busted out of stuff that people have done to me. I'm not mourning anymore. I've been given a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Right? Look, church, we've got to understand something. I was talking with another friend the other day, this prosperity gospel that's going around our country, and it's not just money. The prosperity gospel is, man, if you walk with Jesus, the sun's just going to shine on you 24/7, bro. You got smooth sailing, man. Just jump on 84, forget the Waterbury traffic. You're just going to hit 75 miles an hour, and you're going to make it to your destination without even a pit stop, man. It is garbage. It's garbage, man. The read your Bible. It says the opposite of that. As a matter of fact, it's like you're going to put it in four-wheel drive low, man, because it's going to get rough. Can I get amen? Read these guys. But you know what happens, man? There's something happens. I'm reading about these guys in the Bible now. Peter and Paul. Man, these apostles, something massively changed inside of these guys where they're like, somebody's prophesied over Peter. Guess what? Here's how you're going to die. And Peter's like, okay, I'm cool. What? Could you imagine, right? Somebody comes up, thus says the Lord, here's how you're going to die, brother. We'd be like, no way, that's not going to happen to me. Find me one prophet in America right now that's going to tell somebody they're going to suffer for Jesus. I don't know, all the ones that are real popular, it's everything's blessing. Everything's abundance. It's growth, 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 man. It's just boom. Everything's going to be wonderful. It's going to be amazing. There's nobody talking about sacrificing for God. There's nobody talking about going through a season of pruning. There's no one talking about God's going to deal with you as he does with sons. Where are the guys talking about this stuff? Can I get amen? Look at church, we've got to understand something. The prophet here says, you will rebuild. He doesn't say, God will do it. He already told us what God's going to do. He says, God's going to give you, he's going to bind up your broken heart. That's what God's going to do. God's going to bring you some liberty. He's going to bring you some freedom. He's going to bring you joy. He's going to bring you hope. He's going to bring you some strength. He's going to bring you some vision. He's going to bring you some backbone. He's going to get you some, man, you can throw your shoulders back a little bit and say, I'm all right. I'm all right. You know, okay, so that wasn't too good, but it's all right. And he says, now once you, that's what I'm giving you, says the Lord. Now it's time for you to get off your butt and rebuild something. Amen. when God sends Nehemiah to rebuild the wall, you know what it says in there? The people had a mind to work. So they rebuilt the wall in 52 days. There was no like angels, angels out of heaven. There was no like, it just says nothing there about any kind of these amazing miracles from God, right? They had these guys selling Balaam and Tobiah and the Arabs. They were running their mouth, right? But it was like there was just this something going on inside of these people that they were like, man, I'm not giving up. This is what God told me to do. He told me to come rebuild this thing. I am going to rebuild it. Can I get amen? Let's keep reading. It's even better. Instead... Verse 7, instead of your shame, Who's done with who's done walking in shame this morning? You will have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will who's they? Us, those five folks that got right with God by the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering, and I will faithfully give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations. Now he's talking about our kids and our grandkids. Can I get amen, church? Right? Then their offspring will be known among the nations and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize them because they are the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. Right? I preached some a couple years back. I was sharing with some of their folks this week. I think it's in Jeremiah, but there's a scripture in Jeremiah, like 33, right around in there somewhere, where it talks about, he's talking about these promises that God's coming, New Testament, right? His new covenant, he's prophesying about it, but there's this phrase that he says this. He says, never again will it be spoken in Israel that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And years ago, I read this, and I was like, boom, it just hit my spirit. God says, that's generational curses, man. We still talk about it in church. Oh, God's going to visit the sins of the fathers on the third and fourth generation to all those who curse him and everything else. It's like, okay, well, that's true. But let's look at the promise that comes. The good promise is that what? If you know Jesus, the buck stops here, man, all right? I don't care what my dad did, my granddaddy, my great-granddaddy. I don't care if they were homosexuals. I don't care if they were drug addicts. I don't care if they're alcoholics. I don't care if they were married 15 times, man. It stops here because I got new DNA. I got a new dad. I got new blood in my veins, man. I got a new family. I got new purpose. I got a new foundation I build my life on. Can I get amen? Man, I was getting ready to get married. I tell you what, I was a brand new baby Christian. And I remember my mom said I can share anything, so this is not embarrassing to her. She would love it. My parents' marriage was a disaster. It was a mess, adultery, all kinds of messed up stuff. But again, their parents, right? Generational curse. There was something that kept getting handed down. And my mom sat down with me when I was getting ready to get married, and she says she was crying. She says, I'm so worried. I'm so fearful that the mistakes that I've made are going to impact your marriage. Now, I was saved for like a year at this point. I didn't know nothing. But I looked at my mom and I said, I got a new dad. And I was like, man, what'd I just say? I was like, I got new blood in my veins, mom. It don't matter what you did. It's all good. Right? Because the brokenness of that, it's done here, man. Right? And now my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids, until Jesus comes back, are going to be the offspring of those blessed by the Lord. Can I get amen, church? See, what we've got to do is we've got to stop whining about the blood of Jesus. Just hear me, man. I'm almost done. And start saying, Holy Ghost, start digging. Start digging this junk out. I know I'm forgiven, but I'm tired of making a mess of my life. I'm tired of getting angry. I'm tired of losing my temper. I'm tired of screaming at my kids. I'm tired of messing my money up. I'm tired of rebelling against leadership and church because they say stuff I don't like. I'm tired of whining and crying. I want to change. Because you know what? If that's your prayer, God hears that one. Do you know there's a scripture in Peter? There's some scary stuff in the New Testament, man. Peter says this about men. Husbands, you ready? If you don't treat your wife properly, the Lord will not listen to your prayers. Pastor, how come I'm praying and nothing's happening? How you treating your wife, bro? Ouch. Ouch. That hurts, don't it? But you know what? It's intended to hurt a little bit. It's intended to get you out of that place of mistreating your wife. Because God says, I want to listen to your prayers. I want to answer you. I want to bless your home. I want to bless your marriage. I want to bless your kids. You need to change. See, church, this thing in America where I can do whatever I want and God's going to bless me is a lie. It is a lie from the pit of hell. I don't care how many folks go to those churches telling them that. Okay, you know what? If I didn't know the Bible at all, I'd go to a church like that, man, because it feels good. I'm going to get in trouble. They're going to ban this one off Facebook, man. I'm going to get in trouble. Man, can I get amen? But look it. I tell you, that time, when I read for you this morning, I'll be straight with you. I've not been in a very good place myself lately. I've just been like, man, what is going on? Right? But it's like God's saying, well, you stop it. Enough with the pity party. Stand up. Man up. Let's go. You know, there's a scripture in the New Testament that says this. Act like a man. Yeah, it's right in one of Paul's letters. Act like a man. Well, that feels warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? Man up. Stop being such a wimp. Amen. Let's stand up. Church, I'm telling you, if you, this morning, I want to take a few moments. We're going to pray for you if you'd like to come up. If you're, I know I was a little strong. I was strong on purpose. Amen. But listen, the Spirit of God is in you to set you free. You do not have to be who you were. That's the captivity, man. If you know Jesus, sometimes it's a choice to stay where I was. Amen. We've all heard the stories of an elephant. If you tie an elephant to a post, like a 6-foot rope, for long enough, you can take the rope off and the elephant will never leave. I heard the same story about a tiger at a zoo somewhere. This tiger was in a cage for years, and they took it out of the zoo, took it to a big open thing, right? Tiger, man. I think tigers are scary, right? It was a big, like, what do they call those? Habitat or reserve. Yes, that's the word I was looking for, right? They opened the cage, and the tiger wouldn't go out. And literally, as I was working on this for the last couple weeks, grinding this one out, the Lord literally said to me, there's people right in your church, son, that they're sitting in their prison. The door is open, but they're still sitting in there. It's a choice. This makes sense. I get 3 meals a day. Right? Like, it just makes sense to me, right? It's scary out there. I get this, man. I get laundry. You know what I mean? It's, you know, there's like a joke around, it's like a good retirement plan, you know? I mean, you get 3 square meals a day, there's no expenses, everything's paid for, right? It's crazy. But can I get amen? So look at it. If there's anyone here this morning, as we close and we pray here, I want to lay hands on you, I want to pray with you, get a couple leaders up here. We just want to agree with you, man. If you feel like you fit into one of these 5 categories now, right? Afflicted, brokenhearted, captive, prisoner, mourning. One of those 5. You can't look at your own heart and say, man, I'm free. I'm in a good spot right now. I'm doing good, right? It's all right if you're not, but here we're gonna work on, we're gonna lay hands on you and believe the Spirit of God's gonna rise up in you today and get you in that spot where you can start rebuilding your life. You can start rebuilding other people's lives, amen. It's a team effort, right? It doesn't say then you, he says they will rebuild. Amen. So, Father, we thank you right now this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for that anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give power to your mortal body. That Greek word literally means your body that's dying. There's a scripture right in that same section where Paul says, though outwardly I waste away, inwardly, I'm being made new again day by day. So, Lord, we thank you that there's newness in us by the Spirit of God. Every morning, if I wake up and I'm breathing, there's something new the Spirit of God's doing in my heart. I can be strong. I can be stable. I can have my right mind. I can be controlled emotionally. I can be one who is not needy, but helps those in need. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for that power. I release it right now. Every single heart here, Father, that knows you, that has called on your name, that is filled with the Spirit of God, we thank you for rising up in us in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.